disciples. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And of course, then Jesus proceeded to give them this prayer, what sometimes we call the Lord's Prayer. We probably, most of us in here, have quoted it and could quote it. But I want to pick it up and read it. Verse 9 there, he says, this then is how you should pray. Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Remember we said in the previous lessons, we talked about that God, when we come to God in prayer. Now, most of us, this is not a new revelation, but in Jesus' day, this was an incredible statement to say this, our Father. Because most of the Jews at that time, all the Jews were living under the law. And because they were living under the law, they saw God as the lawgiver. They saw God as the judge. They saw God as the king, the ruler. They saw him that way. But they had never heard anyone refer to God in such an intimate term. And here's the thing we need to remember. When we come to God in prayer, the first thing is to know this, that we have a relation as believers, as a Christian. I have a relationship with God that is special, that is intimate, that he's not just some God way off up there somewhere. You know, you ever wondered, thought about this? I have quirky thoughts, I admit it. But, you know, you ever wondered, how far off is heaven? I mean, you know, if we think of God way off in heaven, I mean, how far is that? And if my prayers are going to get up to heaven, how far is that? How long does it take them to travel there? You know? But here's the thing. God's not just some, you know, way up, you know, like these robe judges in the Supreme Court. You can't get in to see except by special appointment. And then only then, usually, if you're in trouble. But he's up there. He's up there. But he's our Father. And Jesus said the first thing, if you want to learn to pray and to be powerful in prayer, is first understand this. He is your Father. And in Romans 8, well, Paul puts it this way. He says he's your daddy. He's Papa. Did you have a little nickname for your dad? Anybody going up? Can you remember it? Yeah, well, don't worry, we're not going to ask you to tell us. But, you know, as I talk about this, did it come back to you, remember? You know, because there was something, you know, associated with that name that just brings very special feelings back up, doesn't it? And you remember the good things about Dad, how he was there. He was there for you. I mean, you know, especially when you were little, you thought, man, Dad could do anything, couldn't you? I mean, he could do anything. There was nothing that was, man, Dad will make it right if anything messes up. And that's the way we need to see our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much more. He cares for us. Everything about our life he cares about. And when we come to him in prayer, we're not coming and pleading our case before some judge somewhere that is, totally disassociated with us and disconnected from us and is just going to make a ruling based on the law. Because listen, if God was going to do that, I already can tell you the verdict. All of us are guilty. But see, he's moved beyond that because of Jesus, because of our relationship. So now when I come to God in prayer, what? He's Papa. He's Dad. He's my Father. He's your Father. And this is a thing that we have to keep in mind, that we come and we're making our petitions before our Father. Hallelujah. I got a pretty good idea. I already got an inside edge here. Amen. Especially when he's already said this, he says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Glory to God. Isn't that good? And you'll have to get the messages. I don't want to get into that, but we review that a little bit. But we need to remember that. When I go to pray, he is my Father. He's Dad. He said, which art in heaven. It said, hallowed be your name. And this is where we're at right now. The word hallow there means to reverence, to acknowledge, to respect. Amen? You know, we respect the name of God. And what we're doing here is throughout the scriptures, there's much more than we're going to cover, but we're going to look at about 6, 7, 8 of the redemptive names of God. And so as we look at the redemptive names of God, we understand in a fuller measure what it means when he says, hallowed be your name. And last week we looked at him as the Lord God, our righteousness. Remember that? How many of you were here last week? He is our righteousness. He has brought us back into fellowship. He has brought us back into right standing with him. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new person. All the junk before has passed away. Everything's become new. Isn't that good? That, you know what that means? That means that I can come before God and I don't have to feel fearful of judgment. I don't have to feel condemned. I don't have to feel inadequate. I don't have to feel all of those things that I don't measure up, that somehow something's wrong with me. And, you know, I don't know, somehow this salvation didn't take with me like it took with others. We've all felt that way at times, but I've got good news for you. When you hallow his name, when you remember one of his names is this, I am the Lord God, your righteousness. And here's the thing. If God says that he has made us righteous in Christ Jesus, then he has. Isn't that right? You say, but I don't feel like it. Well, you know, we all know how feelings are. Isn't that true? You know, I've shared this with you before. There have been times when I've gone to bed at night. I mean, I was on top of the world as far as my feelings were. Everything was good. You know what I mean? Everything was great. Glory to God, you know. Even the cat was doing what I wanted. You know better than that. But I mean, you know, you're just on top of things. Everything's good. You go to bed and you get up the next morning and you just feel like, I don't want to get out of bed. Nothing's changed. Circumstances are just as good. That's the way feelings are, aren't they? I mean, feelings are just unreliable. You can't go by them. We all have them. But you know, feelings are like Florida weather. You just got to wait a little while. It'll change. Isn't that true? But know this, we hallow the name. I acknowledge what? That what Jesus did is enough. And God is my righteousness. And this morning, we want to remember. And he said, hallow that name. And remember over in Exodus 20, verse 7, you don't have to turn over there. But in giving what we call the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That one of the meanings of that word vain there is uselessness. It don't take my name and make it useless. And so when we exalt our feelings above God's redemption, when we exalt our logic and our reasoning and the way things appear above God's name, then you know what we're doing? Now, we don't realize we're doing it, but we are making God's name, as it were, useless and powerless in our lives. And you know what happens? When that happens, the enemy comes in, doesn't he? And man, he begins to do his thing. You know his thing? How he condemns you, how he beats you down, how he tells you about how you're no good and you did this and you didn't do that and you should have done this and you shouldn't have done that and blah, 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 blah. And he starts beating you down. Or circumstance in life starts talking to you. How many of you know circumstances talk? Boy, they do, don't they? They seem to want to talk especially loud about 3 a.m. Does it happen that way with you? I don't know what it is, you know. I think we're just so busy during the day sometimes. And sometimes I think a lot of our busyness is just to escape the voice of our problems. The voice of our circumstance. And what we need to do is, rather than being busy, is we need to learn from Jesus how to pray. You know, because through prayer, we can deal with those circumstances. Through prayer, we can deal with the accusations of the enemy. Because he said, when you hallow my name, when you acknowledge it, when you reverence it, when you put your faith in the redemptive name of God, you know what happens? He said, all of a sudden, the power of God's released in that area in your life. All of a sudden, righteousness is released. Remember, we said part of the fruit of righteousness is this, peace. You know what the world, probably the greatest thing the world craves, of course, is love, unconditional love. But right there close to it is peace. Isn't it true? It's peace. Man, people do everything in the world to get peace. They pop pills. They take, you know, the latest thing, you know, that will bring them peace. They'll seek out Eastern religions. They'll seek out anything they can, you know. And, you know, and sometimes in the church, you know, we're so quick to criticize people. But the truth of the matter is they're trying to find a remedy. Instead of us criticizing them, trying to find a remedy and criticizing them for being sick, why don't we give them our cure? Why don't we give them the cure of Jesus? Why don't we lift up and hallow the name of Jesus? Why don't we bring peace to them that is genuine peace and real peace and lasting peace? Today, as we hallow the name, let's turn over to Psalm 103. Let's look back at that. We've read that a time or two. I want to visit it at least one more time. Let's look at it this morning. Psalm 103. We're going to start with verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins. We talked about that last week. He is Jehovah Sikkim. He is the God who forgives all your sins. Forgives all your sins. I'm so glad He put all in our seal. Glory to God. I'm glad He put all. That means that big whopper one too. All of them. That means that little one too. That means the medium-sized one, all our sins. And heals all your diseases. That's what I want to look at today for a few minutes. He is Jehovah Rophi. Over in the scriptures, in Exodus 15:26, when Israel was just fresh come out of Egypt, when they'd been delivered by the hand of the Lord, one of the first names that God revealed to Israel was this. He said, in Exodus 15:26, He said, I'm going to bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness and disease away from you. I will put none of the diseases on you that was on the Egyptians. He said, because I am the Lord God who healeth you, or I am Jehovah Rophi. And when we acknowledge, we hallow the name of God in prayer. When we come to God, if we need healing in our bodies, healing in our emotions, healing in our minds, He said, I want you to remember this. When you hallow my name, when you come to Papa in prayer, one of my names is, I am the Father, the Daddy that makes you whole. Amen. Glory to God. You know, in a day and age, you know, and I don't mean to drag this up, but I want to, as a contrast, you know, I was watching a little bit of the news the other day, and I was reading this thing, or heard this thing about this guy that had locked his daughter up, I think it was in Germany or somewhere, for all these years, and had abused her. You hear about that? I mean, it's just sick. I mean, the guy's just sick. He's sick. You know, I think about that. You know, we hear so much about that kind of stuff and abuse, but I want to tell you something, that when you come to your Heavenly Father, He's never going to abuse you. He's never going to misuse you. Amen. When you come to God, you know what? He said, you're going to find out, I'm Jehovah Rophi. I am the God that heals you. And when we understand this and we come to our Father in prayer, every time we get in the presence of God in prayer, in worship, you know what? I become more whole. I become better. We're going to look a little bit at the ministry of Jesus in this, because Jesus, remember, Philip, one of the disciples of Jesus, he said over there, he said, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing. He said, Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said this. He said, Philip, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when we look at Jesus, when we look at His actions, when we see His words, when we see the mercy and the grace of God that poured forth from the heart of Jesus, you know what you're seeing? An absolute, complete, and perfect picture of your Father. Of your Father. And here's the thing. When we come to God, we come to God and we hallow the name of God. You know what happens? He's going to bring wholeness and soundness to our life. He says He's the Lord God who heals all your diseases. I want us to turn, if you will, let's turn over to Acts 10:38. Now, we won't be able to cover everything, of course, today about healing. But I want to cover a few main points, because we're going to partake of the Lord's table here in just a few minutes. But in Acts 10, verse 38, there is a synopsis of what's going on here. Acts 10, 38. I want to read this. This is Peter. He's preaching to the Gentiles. And he says this. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You look at that. How God anointed, consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with strength, ability, and power. Boy, I like the way that reads, don't you? The Amplified. And he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now, this scripture, the reason I want to bring out this scripture, because it, in a nutshell, brings out all the, as it were, the players when it comes to healing and sickness. Notice it says how God, that's the Father, anointed Jesus, the Son, with the Holy Spirit. So we got the Trinity of God. We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit right there, didn't we? And he anointed them for what reason? To go about and do good. And what was a part of that good? Healing, curing all. I'm so glad God uses the words all. When it comes to forgiveness of sins, I'm glad all is used there. When it comes to healing and wholeness, I'm glad that God uses the word all. Because, you know, here's the thing. If you're like me, if God has said most, I would have been sure I wouldn't want. You know, I'd have been sure, boy, I'll tell you what, there's probably about, you know, a few billion in line ahead of me. But he didn't say most. He didn't say some. He didn't say if you're good enough. Nothing in that verse says anything about good enough. Are you listening? He says that Jesus went about doing that. And so we see what? The expressed will of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is to do what? To make you whole. God wants you well. God wants you well. The starting place to hallow this name of God, Jehovah Rophi, the healer, is this, is to acknowledge this. God wants me well. No matter how sick you may be, no matter what you may be facing right now, here's the thing. To hallow the name of Jesus, to hallow the name of God, to see that name come to bear in your circumstance is first of all to recognize this, that as Jehovah Rophi, God wants me well. He wants me whole emotionally. You know, even a lot of us who are healed in our bodies, I'm telling you, we may need healing in our emotions. You know, we may feel rejection. We may have been abused and hurt in life. I'm sure all of us were at some point. Isn't that true? You can't. I mean, and you know, you can't. I mean, even if you live with yourself, sometimes you're your own worst enemy. I mean, it's hard to get away from being hurt sometimes emotionally, isn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes you think, boy, I'll get on an island, but, you know, there you are. I said, you know, the only problem with me getting away is, you know, when I get there, there I am. You know what I mean by that? And so here's the thing. So all of us, even if it's not physical healing that you need, it may be emotional healing. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody that is very, you know, the people that we care about the most are the ones that can wound us the greatest. You know, the greater our connection with somebody, the greater the potential they have to bless us, but also to hurt us. Isn't that true? Because, you know, some guy you don't even know, I mean, he might reject you or something. That don't hurt so bad. But boy, I'm telling you, if it's a spouse or a family member or somebody in the body of Christ or somebody that, a friend that you're close to, or man, when they do it, oh man, it goes, like the scriptures say, it goes right down into the, boy, where it hurts, doesn't it? And he said, hallow this name. What? The name of Jehovah Rophi, the Lord God that heals you. Turn over to Luke 4:18 now. Keep that in mind. I'm telling you, I would write down Acts 10:38, mark that in my Bible and go back and meditate on that. Get it settled, you know. Because here's the thing. How many of you know good things, bad things happen to good people? Isn't that right? Boy, I wish I could tell you, boy, now that you're a child of God, you'll never have another problem, but I'd be lying. I wish I could tell you, you know, you'll never have to deal with any of the stuff in life, but I'd be lying. But here's the thing. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's the thing. And this thing called prayer is one of the greatest weapons that we have. You know why? Because it covers every need that you may have in life. Or it's healing for the body, healing for your emotions, healing for your mind. Some people are tormented by anxieties and fears, by all kinds of phobias, you know, as we call them. And you know what? God says, He said, I want to give you peace. I want you to have wholeness in your body, in your mind, and in your emotions. In Luke 4:18, notice when Jesus, the first sermon that we have recorded that Jesus ever preached. Notice what He says here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What is the good news? To proclaim freedom, deliverance for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. Now remember, we just read in Acts 10:38, what was part of that oppression? Sickness and disease. The oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. So here's the thing. Jesus began to preach, and He says, I am specifically and on purpose have been anointed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit as the Son of God. I am specifically been anointed for this purpose, and that is to bring health and healing to your life. Glory to God. Can we say this together? Just say this. God wants me well. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. I know, you know, circumstances surrounding things at times can seem so perplexing. Can seem like, I can't figure this out. This doesn't make any sense. I don't know why this happened to me, why this happened to that other person. I mean, we're good people. We love God. Remember what I said? Bad things happen to good people. You know why? Because we live in a world that's fallen, don't we? We live in a world that is ruled by the god of this world. And so he's the Bible says He's like a roaring lion. He's going around. He's looking for people to devour. But here's the thing. Once we understand that our Father is Jehovah Rapha, the God that wants us well, that He has sent Jesus and anointed that same Savior that forgave all my sins, He's also been anointed to bring wholeness to all areas of my life. Amen. He wants you physically well. How many of you know, isn't it just a little bit of common sense here? You know, somebody says, sounds like you're talking stuff like Christian Science. No, I'm talking Christian sense. There's a big difference. Christian sense comes out of this thing. Christian Science comes from somewhere else. Christian sense comes out of knowing what God said. Isn't that right? And doesn't it just make good, godly Christian sense that, you know, that when we are well, when we have strength in our bodies, when my emotions are whole and healthy, when I'm free from fear and anxiety in my mind, couldn't God use me to be a blessing to others in a greater measure? Are you saying, Pastor, that means if I'm sick or I'm dealing with fear, God can't use me? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God can use us more. Isn't that true? Because I've been around some godly, godly saints that had sickness in their body, had disease in their body. So don't misunderstand me. Am I saying they're inferior Christians? No, I'm not saying that. I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we need to come to an understanding that He is Jehovah Rapha, and that Jesus has been anointed especially and specifically to bring wholeness into our life. And though we may be facing things that we don't understand why this happened to me or why this happened to grandma or why this happened to this other good person, that does not change the fact of what is written in this Bible. Amen. Amen. And here's the thing. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that true? And you know, all the people that Jesus was sent to, says He healed all the sick. We're going to read just a couple of scriptures about that. But there are many, many scriptures in the Gospels where it says Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed them all. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the sick. Here's the thing. Weren't those people, until Jesus found them and until they found that Jesus was anointed this way, they were bound by their sickness. But you know what? They were loved just as much. They were just as valuable to God. They were just as precious to God as the people that didn't need healing. Because here's the thing. Sooner or later, you're going to need some form of healing from God. I mean, I just promise you that. You know. Bless God, you know, if you're 25, hallelujah, you know. Hallelujah, I'm just the picture of health. But sometimes as you get a little older, that thing of sin and the enemy, at times he's going to test you, isn't he? He's going to try to attack you. So sooner or later you're going to. And here's the thing, even if not in your body, in relationships. Like I said, unless you go live in a cave, you're going to deal with people. People are going to. How many of you know that you're not perfect? How many of you know that the rest of us aren't either? Well, we got that settled. So, you know, if you're around me enough, sooner or later, guess what? You know, I'm going to do something that's going to hurt your feelings or be misunderstood. And isn't that true? Let's don't run from one another just because, you know, there's a misunderstanding or, you know, or even you did something and it hurt me and I felt rejected and you felt hurt. Hey, we already acknowledge that none of us are perfect. And that if we're around one another long enough, that's going to happen. Listen, instead of running away, let's run to Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. There's healing and forgiveness, isn't there? That's why you'll see over and over again the connection between healing and forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness. Forgiveness and healing. When God forgives, it brings healing, doesn't it? When we forgive one another, it brings healing, doesn't it? So we can, in a measure, reflect the name of God in our lives. What? By being, what? People who forgive. And through that forgiveness, what does it do? It brings healing. How does it bring healing? It heals my relationship that was strained. It heals that misunderstanding that was there. It heals that area where the enemy wants to stir it up. You know what I mean? You know how the enemy is. If you leave something long enough, you know, somebody does you wrong. Not that you would do anybody wrong, but if somebody does you wrong. You know what? If you let that thing sit there long enough without dealing with it, what does that old enemy do? Oh, he stirs it up. You know, and it's not long before he's made it 10 times worse than it really was. Isn't that true? I've been there. I know. You hold on to that thing, you know, instead of being quick to forgive and dealing with that thing, you hold on to it, and man, it ain't long. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, if you hold on to it long enough, you know what tends to go in motion, don't you? This thing right here, cut below your nose. You hold on to that hurt long enough, this thing goes in motion, doesn't it? You're going to tell somebody. Let me tell you. Do you know what they did to me? Hey. I've been there. You say, how do you know that? So, well, because I'm human too. Isn't that true? But see, if we go and understand our Father, you're Jehovah, He's a healer. And doesn't the Bible tell us that what we are to what? Emulate Him. We are to bring healing. We're not to bring hurt and division. We all do it innocently. I don't think any of us just, you know, sit down and think, well, how can I just hurt somebody today? You know, it just happens, doesn't it? But here's the thing. We need to be what? We need to reflect God. But here's the thing. I believe this. I believe this is true. That because so many believers, Christians, wonderful people, don't misunderstand me, they haven't seen God in this light. They haven't seen Him as the forgiver, the healer. They've seen Him more as the judge, as the one quick to point out our faults. And because, you know, when we feel judged, we tend to judge others. We tend to treat others the way we feel we're being treated. Isn't that right? You know, you've heard this. You know, I've told the humor story about the husband and wife. You know, they have words. Not that you do. They have words, you know. They get mad at one another, you know. And you know, and maybe the wife slams the door and the man goes out and he kicks the dog. The dog chumps the cat. You know, I mean, it's just a chain reaction, isn't it? Because we tend to what? We treat others the way we feel we've been treated. I've been mistreated. People haven't treated me fair or whatever. But here's the thing. We can stop that cycle if we'll be just like Jesus was and be a healer. Yes. and be a healer. Amen. It says Jesus was specifically anointed for that. Let's look at one more scripture real quick. Turn to Matthew 4. You're close there. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 4. Let's look in verse 23. And we'll start reading there. Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. Good news. Listen, if what you're hearing is not good news, it's not the gospel. Because that's what the gospel literally means. It's good news. It's not good news that God's out to get you. It's not good news that that God's holding all your sins against you. It's not good news that God wants you to be sick and full of fear and anxieties all your life. It's not good news, is it? He says, and, everybody say and. Now, teaching and preaching, we're good so far. And healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jehovah Rophi. He said, hallowed be your name. You know, we need to look at in our lives and our circumstances and think, now, Lord, am I honoring the name of my Father as healer? Do I see you as the healer? Do I run to you when I need healing? Do I run to you when I need to be made whole? And am I quick, as Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. Isn't that what he said? When I freely am the recipient of God's forgiveness, God's healing, God's wholeness, you know what I can do? It's no problem to pass it on. Isn't that right? How many of you know that God has forgiven you of a lot more than you will ever forgive somebody else? Isn't that true? Jesus even gave us an example of that. We don't have time to look into it, but he gave us the parable. Remember about the servant that owed the king, like equivalent of like, you know, several million dollars. And the king forgave him the debt when he couldn't pay. You know, the alternative was go to debtor's prison in those days. And the king just says, I'm going to forgive you. And he went out and one of his fellow servants owed him $5. And instead of showing that same mercy, he said, put him in jail. And when the king heard it, he came back and he said, you know what? He said, I forgave you all that debt. And you wouldn't forgive this little debt. Lock him up. And you know, I think sometimes some of the reason why we it seems like that we are still carrying around our wounds, our guilt, our condemnation, that big debt that only God can forgive. It may be, just like that other servant, somebody we need to forgive $5 worth. You want God to lift the burden? You want God to lift the load? You want God to lift that off of you? Then you know what you need to do? You need to forgive that other person, that little thing they did against you by comparison. I don't mean to minimize, you know, because a hurt's a hurt. But here's the thing. It's minimal by comparison of what God's done for us. And sometimes because we hold on to that hurt with that other person, it seems like that we can't feel and receive the benefits of God's forgiveness for us. We still feel condemned. We still feel guilty. And we have a hard time when we go to God in prayer receiving healing. Because that thing, every time we go to pray, that thing with this other person comes up. And you say, well, they did me wrong. I know it. I know they did you wrong. That's the reason you need to forgive. Isn't that right? Well, I'll tell you what, if they come to me and straighten it all out, well, I don't believe in this, but about the best thing I could tell you is good luck. Most of the time that don't happen, does it? Most of the time what? You are aware of it. You need to go. Say, you know what? You know, you did something and you know, it hurt me and all, and I want us to get it right. I just want you to know I forgive you. I forgive you. And you know what? Then when we go to God as healer, guess what can happen? Healing and wholeness can come forth in our lives. Remember what Jesus said? He said, when you go to the altar to make your gift to God, and there remember that you have aught against your brother, what did he say do? well, just go ahead and give it anyway by faith. No. What did he say do? He said, first, go to your brother. Get it struck, get the healing, get wholeness right with them. And then what? Then he said, you come back and you offer your gift to God. Amen. That's what we need to do. This morning, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's table. I want the men to go ahead and come on up and partake of this, or come up and get it prepared. And I want to share some things along this line too, because this has to do with healing. As we partake of the Lord's table together. And if you're a believer, you're welcome to partake of this with us. Even if you're visiting, you're still welcome. But you know, I want to read you some scriptures as the men are preparing for it. The Bible says over in Isaiah 53, you can turn over there in your Bibles if you want to, Isaiah 53. We're going to read a couple of verses there. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. Now, Isaiah 53, the prophet here, Isaiah, is speaking about Jesus as the Redeemer, as the Lamb of God that is sent for us. And in verse 4 it says, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken, and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed. Jesus came for this express purpose, to show us the Father. And the ultimate revelation of the Father's desire and purpose for us is revealed at Calvary, where Jesus, it says, he took our sins and he bore our diseases. Why did Jesus take our sins? So we could be free. Isn't that true? Why did he take our diseases? Same reason, so that we could be free. And this morning, in just a few minutes, as we partake of these elements, the bread that represents the broken body, the stripes that were laid on Jesus is for the healing of your body, for the wholeness that God has brought to you as Jehovah Rophi. And the cup represents the shed blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness, the remission, the removal of your sins. So the guys are going to serve you. I'm going to ask everybody, hold your elements until everybody's been served, and then we're going to pray and we're going to receive of the elements together. Hallelujah. Go ahead, gentlemen.